Talk a little bit about how we all experience church and how whatever our experiences are shape how we view and experience church.
All right. Thanks, BJ. Good morning. My name's Jeff. I am the discipleship pastor here at Adventure. Glad you guys are here. And I am about to break all of the rules that BJ just outlined as far as making people feel welcome. And ask that if you are further back than five rows, that you come to the first five rows, please. Because, especially for the topic that I'm talking about this morning, it's going to feel very awkward for me to speak to the back of the church. Thank you. I know it's the last thing you want to do, but you guys are so awesome that you're actually listening to me. And if you refuse to move, I wouldn't say another word about it. So, thank you. So before we jump into our message this morning, how many people here knew that it was the International Day for the Unreached today? Okay, a couple. Okay, I only knew because our missions team made me aware of it, which is kind of what their job is, what their purpose is. So basically what it is the Church of Christ, the body of Christ around the world have particular days where we try to bring an awareness and a focus on a particular topic that relates to what we're all trying to accomplish, okay? There's the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church in October, okay? Today is actually the day designated to kind of bring attention to the unreached people groups. So there are actually over 2 billion people represented in the areas of the world where the gospel has never gone to, where they've never had an opportunity to hear about the love of Jesus Christ that we're here to celebrate this morning and enjoy. There is going to be a live, whatever you call it, podcast, simulcast, there's all these different cast names, on Facebook and at their website at Day for the Unreached tonight at 5 o'clock our time. And so I just want to bring awareness to that for you guys. What it does is one of the things when we face like a big issue like that is it just feels overwhelming. It's like, what am I supposed to do? I love the story that BJ shared about fruit bearers because what it does is it shows us, wow, there's actually a difference being made. And part of that difference is the effect of the local church supporting, praying for, sending people to go out into the world and bring the love of Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't mean everybody here is supposed to go to an unreached people group and be a missionary there. And if you can't do that, then you're not doing anything to help the unreached. So I think what they want to accomplish in this podcast is helping us see how can we work together as the body of Christ to actually see the unreached reached. So as I jump into my message this morning, I want to pray and join because I know that there are many, many churches around the world this morning, or they already did because their morning has already come and gone, prayed together in unity for the unreached and for just an awareness, a better awareness in the body of Christ for that. And then also just pray for our message. So let's pray. Lord, I don't want this to just be a token prayer of, Lord, bless the unreached. So God, what I really desire is just presenting this to you for myself and for us as the church. Lord, would you raise our awareness of actually what we are doing right now to help reach these unreached peoples, to send missionaries, to pray for them, to read and hear the stories of how new people groups are being reached through the translation of the Bible, through the gospel being shared, through the internet and technology reaching them, Lord. Would you raise our awareness, God? And I just, we join our prayers with our brothers and sisters around the world this morning and pray for boldness. We pray for your spirit to reveal who would you send? What part would you have us take in that, Lord? We know it's your heart to reach the utter parts of the world. And it's your heart to use us, your church, to do that. So we just say, accomplish that, Lord, and help us to be willing and obedient to be led by you in how we would take part in it. And so, Lord, I also just submit to you this morning, this message. God, my voice, Lord, I submit to you just what your heart is. Would you come and reveal it to us? We submit to you, God. We open our hearts to you. We lay down our defenses, and we ask, Lord, that you would just come and speak truth from your word, God, as it relates to the church, the body of Christ, and how we're to interact with your church, Lord. So come and teach us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I am feeling a little bit old this morning because my low back is sore, okay, kind of stiff. And when I was younger, I would have had to do something like pretty physical to make my low back hurt. Yesterday, I went to an event with my boys and did a lot of standing around. And standing around made my back, low back hurt. So that kind of makes me feel like I'm getting old, if that's what it takes. So the church, okay? What do you think about when I say the word hermit? Do you think of this? A hermit crab? Okay. This is family service, okay? So this place is going to be packed with kids next service. So you just need to be amused and enjoy the fact that this... I'm not going to give two messages, okay? You're getting the full meal deal. Okay, so a hermit, we tend to think, is what? Maybe somebody who is a recluse. Okay, this is just an image, right? But we tend to think of somebody who is withdrawn from society, okay? Not here this morning, right? Because they wouldn't come here this morning. So, what do you think about when you think of somebody who is not a hermit? Because it says that Jesus went out into the wilderness on his own, alone, and prayed. He went up into the mountains where no one could find him. And it's like, where's Jesus? So could we say that Jesus was a hermit? I can't say that without smiling. I'm going to work on that for second service. So all the kids are going to get it really quick. Could we say that Jesus is a hermit? No, we can't say that. Okay? Still can't do it. All right. Why? Because God is relational. Okay? This morning is going to be talking about, like we said, the church. What is the church? Why do we have church? Is it a tradition that's just kind of formed over time and is a really good idea? And sometimes really good ideas people just keep doing for centuries because they're good ideas. And some people do them, some people don't. Or is there actually some kind of purpose that God had in establishing the church, which is the body of believers coming together and supporting one another, encouraging one another, and we'll get into that. Okay, so in order to understand more as we go into what does Scripture say about church, we have to understand God a little bit more, okay? And we know that God is relational, okay? We know we can't say Jesus is a hermit and not smile because we look at the rest of his life, okay? Did he have moments of getting away into the wilderness? Did he have moments of spending time alone? Yes, but he had a lot of his life was interacting with people. Last week at Mother's Day service, I talked a little bit about this dynamic of how God reveals his character through his creation and how Paul told us that everything there is to be known about God can be seen or viewed or experienced through what he's created, okay? Sometimes we see that through even the animal world, okay? Now, there's animals that are hermits, recluses. They don't want any other animals around them, okay? So you can't just go to that for your image. What I want to do this morning is look at another picture from Scripture that explains to us, shows us that God is relational, so that then we'll have a context for talking about why he's called the church together to function as it does, okay? So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1 to look at the creation of man. Genesis 1, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I've got to go down under my crawl space probably this afternoon, deal with a rat problem, okay? I'm fulfilling the word of God by taking dominion over those things that are creeping around down there. And I'm scared out of my mind about it. Okay, so look at the key points here. Let us. So God, referring to himself, says, let us make man in our image. Okay? So we already see God relating to himself as a community. Okay? We already see God relating to himself relationally. Now, our human minds are kind of scratching our heads right now and going, well, how is that? And now you're going to talk about the Trinity, and you're going to talk about an egg is one egg, and it has a yolk and a white and a shell, or water can be frozen, it can be gas, or it can be liquid, but it's still water. I'm not going to go there, okay? Because I kind of side with C.S. Lewis, one of the great philosophers in the Christian faith, who said, you're not going to figure out the Trinity, because God does not, he's not confined to our dimension as creations. I'd be a little bit concerned about the greatness of God and the glory of God if I could figure every single thing out about him. But what we do understand is that he is displayed in relationship and community. The Father, we see in Scripture clearly referred to as God. We see Jesus Christ clearly referred to as God in the New Testament. And he even shows up in the Old Testament. And we see the Holy Spirit not just as this power or this essence of God, but actually God living in us, which makes us a temple. We're not a temple, it says, unless the Holy Spirit lives in us, unless God lives in us, okay? So there's this expression, and even from the beginning, we see this community interacting. One God, because we're told also in Scripture, clearly there is one God. We don't worship three gods, but he's expressed in three persons who interact, okay? Jesus' baptism, we see all three. Jesus being baptized, the Father saying, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove in that one moment. Okay, there's many references to this idea of the Trinity or the idea of one God expressed in three persons in Scripture. Okay, right here, don't be confused by the word man. Let us make man in our image. That word in Hebrew is Adam. Okay, Adam. Yes, but no. Okay, the word here is actually a lowercase a, and it actually refers to the human species. Okay, mankind. Okay, it's not referring to the proper name Adam, which is the first man that he will create, but it's referring to mankind. So, what do they do? What does he do? Sorry. What does God do in order to express himself? Because now he said, he looks at, you know, all the animals and everything, and he says, we're going to make man different than the animals because he's going to reflect our image. Okay, that's God speaking. So God created man in his own image. Again, that's Adam, the word Hebrew there. In the image of God, he created him. Okay, male and female, he created them. Okay, could not make one to represent himself. He could not make one person to accurately represent the image of God. He had to make two because it's in the relationship of man and woman together that we get the image of God. It's in the expression of man and woman separately and their characteristics brought together in relationship that we get the image of God. He couldn't do just one. It wasn't right. It wasn't good. So that's an understanding of just even at the depths of who God is, everything that he is, relationship comes forth, community comes forth, how he relates to himself, how he expresses himself through his creation, through mankind, is relational and community, okay? So what is your idea of the church, okay? What picture do you think of? Before you look at all my pictures, which you already did, what picture do you think of when you say, okay, the church, I get it, okay. Because God created this race, mankind, okay. Then from that race, he raised up a people for himself who could be set apart because of the sinfulness of man early on. He wanted a people that could be set apart from that sinfulness to follow him, worship him, glorify him, so he could express himself and relationship through that people. And he raised up Abraham. And through Abraham and Sarah, he had the people of God, the Israelites. Okay? And then we have the stories of them walking away from God and him calling them back to himself. And eventually he came to the point of saying, I want to include even more than just the Israelites, this particular tribe within mankind. And so he gave us Jesus Christ, who actually gave us access into that family. It says that he joined both Gentile, which would be a non-Jew, non-Israeli, okay, and the Israelites, the people of God, together into one family. So Jesus Christ, in his death on the cross, paying for our sins, which kept those out of that family, okay, even those who were Israelites who walked in sin and rebelled against God, kept them out of God's family. Now, through Jesus Christ, we have this opportunity to be a part of the family of God. And that's the point at which he established what we refer to as the church. Okay? The church, one of the terms used in the Greek, in the New Testament, you'll see the word church many times. Ecclesia, okay? In that time, it was referred to as a popular meeting, a Jewish synagogue where they would meet together, a Christian community of members on earth or saints, sometimes referred to even the saints in heaven, that same word, a gathering of the believers in Jesus Christ and followers of God. Okay? So that's what I mean when I say church. Now we see Harry the Hermit here showed up again. Okay, so some of you have a picture of a traditional church building. Okay, that is tradition. That is part of what the church building looks like, what we meet in. That has formed over tradition, okay? Synagogues had a certain look in that time, and they were a formal meeting place, and they became, for those Jews who came to Christ first and then the Gentiles were invited in, those were kind of a central meeting point, okay? And there was all kinds of confusion about, well, what about the Gentiles? Can they go into the synagogue? And how are we supposed to relate to them? And then they were meeting in homes, okay? And you see here, people meeting in a living room. That can be a church, a gathering, okay? These people are out in the woods, but they're gathered together in community, worshiping God. Okay, here's a big warehouse. I used to go to a church that looked like a big warehouse. We'd laugh about it, you know, it looks like Costco. But there was community happening inside in life. And it's where I got a lot of the foundation that I have in my faith, okay? But poor Harry here, the hermit, says that his church is going out in the woods or somewhere solitary and connecting with God and reading the Word. And that's his church. Is that church? Actually, it's not. That's not church. You may want to argue with that, but what I would say is that's extremely important, okay? It is, we do see Jesus exampling that, getting away from the crowds, okay? And being alone with God, okay? But what we want to separate is the idea of church, because as a pastor, I talk to many people. Actually, I have this conversation pretty regularly with people. And sometimes it's people who are seeking help, who are not a part of a church community, okay? First conversation I have with them, a lot of times it's financial help that they're seeking, is do you have a church community? Establishing that they're a believer, right? Okay, if they're not a believer, it's a different conversation, and I get to share Christ with them. But they're a believer. It's usually the first thing they communicate to me. I'm a strong Christian. I ask them if they have a community of support around them of a church. They're like, no, I don't. There's people in church, so I don't go to church. And people hurt me. They're hypocritical. I've tried church. I don't like it. My church is going out and being by myself and reading my Bible and praying to God. That's my community. That's my church. Okay, well, let's revisit the reason why you're calling this morning. Well, because I need help and I'm all alone and I'm stuck in a situation where I need people. Okay, that's actually the dynamic. I have to be very gentle about bringing them into that But that's actually the dynamic that's happening. They have isolated themselves because of hurts, legitimately been hurt, okay? I'm not diminishing that. But God's design is that very community to help you heal from those hurts, to help you walk through that, and to have support to come around you when you're in a tough place, okay? So that idea, I'm sorry, Harry. Now, I don't want Harry to go away. I want him to go to this church, okay? Because he could just walk right out of the trees there and come right into the church. Okay, so Harry needs to join a church. And then he can have his times out in the woods with God alone, with his Bible and praying, and he should, okay? If I was always in a gathering, I think I'd burn out, okay? Some people get energy from that. I need to recharge with God. Jesus did, okay? So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about church. Let's look at a few verses this morning that tell us something. I had to pick and choose, and I just chose three, and they don't fully represent what Scripture teaches us about the church. But let's look at three of them. In Hebrews, the author says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Okay, so you can see the things that need to happen in community. Stirring up one another to love and good works isn't going to happen on your own. Isn't going to happen if your church is watching a YouTube video of a sermon with your tea and your Bible. If that's your only experience of community, you're not going to be stirring anybody up, okay? You may be stirred up yourself, but that's all taking in, okay? This is a command to actually do something for someone else in community. And then it also says encouraging one another, okay? Encouraging one another. So there's encouragement that God wants you to receive in community, and there's encouragement that he wants you to give somebody else. Has to happen in community because that's what God is like. Okay, Ephesians 4:11-12. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." Paul's referring here to Jesus, okay, and how he established, because when Jesus came, died on the cross, rose from the dead, appeared to hundreds of people over the course of that time that he walked the earth, and then he ascended into heaven. That was the establishment of the church. You'll hear terms like the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers, the church. That's all referring to the same thing. That's all of the believers, okay? And then he established these positions, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and their job is not to do the ministry. Their job is to equip the saints, and you're the saints, okay? The pastors and prophets and teachers are saints too, and yes, they'll be doing ministry, but it's to equip the saints and encourage them to do the ministry of reaching the world for Christ, sharing his love, inviting people into the family of God, making the invitation, right? And then people can decide if they're going to accept that invitation. Okay, that doesn't happen on your own. That doesn't happen whether it's out in the woods or it's in a cozy home all on your own, okay? Preaching to the choir here because you guys are here, right? You get this. Last one. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Okay, so there's teaching going on in community. Fellowship. Fellowship, actually, that word koinonia right here is fellowship, okay? It means participation and sharing. Actually also referred to even physically sharing of the things that you have with others, like I referenced, you know, in a community. When there's a need that comes up, we share with one another. So you're not found in that place of reaching out and saying, I'm a part of this, but I'm not a part of this. Can you help me for this? And then I'm out of here. That's not how God designed it to be. Okay? So why do we have church? Real relationship with God's family. That's what we're establishing this morning. One thing we need to understand is there's an enemy to this process, okay? That will explain maybe some of the hurts represented with us in our experience with the church, okay? I've been hurt by people in the church. And many of you probably have too, okay? And had to push through that and you have a certain place that you're sitting in this morning of kind of what you think about the church, how you visualize church, what does it mean, and what's your involvement in church. Church is more than a tradition that's developed over time, okay? A good idea that we should do. It's actually God's plan. So many times, the reason I know there's an enemy to church is so many times when I see people falling into sin, struggling with something really hard. The first true sign that I know is not because I see them doing that thing. It's because I stop seeing them in fellowship. Not just Sunday morning. People go through a season where they're not coming Sunday morning or whatever, but whatever type of connection to this community, it starts to drop off first. And that's the first sign. That's a pattern I can trace over years of being a leader, being a pastor, a shepherd, who cares about people's growth, spiritual growth, and discipleship. And so that's the first thing we'll go after. Why are you not? Well, I don't feel comfortable because I'm in conflict with this certain person. Can we work through that? Because that conflict that's keeping you away is only going to feed the other problem that you're dealing with and struggling with that the enemy's tempting you away to, okay? If we're referred to like a flock of sheep in the church, the enemy's like a wolf, and he's always trying to cut a sheep off, get him over the hill, and out of sight so he can devour it. And I see that play out, and I'm going out. Others in the church see that when there's a close connection. Where's my friend? Where are they? I need to call them up. Come back. Don't start wandering off. Come back to the flock. That's one of the things that the church accomplishes. So I want to talk a little bit about adventure. And I want to be really careful about my language when I speak about Adventure Church, because I have good relationships with many of the leaders of the other churches here in Duval. And so it's not so much a, here's how Adventure does church. Okay, that's not what I'm presenting this morning. What I'm presenting is, what does God call us to as the body of Christ to be as church? And therefore, why does Adventure do the things that it does? Because God calls the body of Christ to do these things. Okay? And even the things that I outline, I could tell you with confidence, my friend Matt, Redemption Church, he does these things too. And they would have maybe a different sentence that they describe it. But we're all here to accomplish the same thing. Our vision, hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. I know the other churches, the other Christian churches in this city are doing that too. Okay? They're doing that too. They may use a different language to describe how they're doing it. And their programs might be called something different, but we could gather together as a community of pastors and cheer each other on that we're all restoring hearts and setting people free to adventure with God, okay? But where it comes down to it is this is where we can stay in the gray as a believer. We're all doing the same thing, and I want to come to this church this week, and I want to go to the next church the next week. There's some reasons why we are called to settle into a community of believers. Some of them I just outlined right there. First, I want to talk about, and we're going to go into that. We're going to go into why is it important to actually have a community that you commit to, okay? First, I just want to outline a little bit of how at Adventure Church, as the part of the body of Christ, we accomplish hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. We have kind of five areas that we refer to as streams, just to give us a visual picture. If you were to drink from these streams regularly in your life, you would see what the ultimate goal is, which is discipleship. Discipleship is, today I'm here, next year, on May 20th, I'm here, okay? Where else in your life do you set a goal to be stuck in the same place as you are right now? Okay, right now with my health, I'm right here. And I hope in a year from now, I'm not any more healthy than I am today, okay? Or a sport that you play, or school. You know, I know this much now in school, and I'm in this grade, but I really hope a year from now I'm going to be in the same grade and I haven't learned anything all year. Okay? It's the same with your walk in community and your walk with God, your spiritual life. I doubt that anyone has that goal, that they just want to count the days off and be in the same place with God, the same connection and relationship with him, and the same experience with the community that you've committed to. Okay? So, the mission is how to accomplish the vision. So, the five streams would fall under kind of the mission of how we want to restore hearts and set people free. First stream would be walking with God. Okay, so you'll hear this language as the part of the body of Christ. We'll talk about walking with God, which means getting out of a concept of religion and into an understanding of relationship with God. Okay? So there's a relationship with God that's built out of that relational character of God. So we believe that you can actually walk with God in communion with him and with the body in a way that he can direct your life. Okay? First and foremost, the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God directs us. As his sheep, we hear his voice. That's John 10. Okay? Jesus says we can hear his voice and be directed by him. So we believe that you can grow into a relationship with God where you can pray and tell God the things on your heart, and you can actually hear back from God speaking to your heart. We don't believe it's beyond God's miraculous ability to communicate to his children. Okay, he's called a good father. And as far as I've experienced, a good father has a relationship and communication with his children. And we believe that that's possible. And we believe it's a journey to understand and discern his voice and align it with scripture and be led by that in your life. So that's walking with God. Restoration. Okay, we believe that there's an enemy, which is one of our other streams, but we believe that there have been wounds that we've taken in our life leading up to now. However old you are, there are wounds that have come to you in your life, and God is a God of restoration. Okay, this is Isaiah 61. This is Jesus' mission that he came to bring. Okay, he came to bring his mission of restoration to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Jesus said, that's my mission. He read out of Isaiah 61. Okay, so we believe that God, Jesus is accomplishing that, continuing to accomplish that through the body of Christ. Okay, to people who don't know him, to people who do know him. And so we believe that there's a course of restoration. So the things you'll see that we do in ministry are going to be, we have throughout this last year, we've had individuals meeting with other individuals, walking through materials that lead us to that place of relationship with God, walking with him, hearing his voice, and letting him speak into the areas of our lives that God wants to bring healing in. So that from this point, there's been healing, there's been restoration, there's been identity. And you're able to live out of that. That's God's plan, not to just park you. You're a Christian, you're saved, you're going to heaven, stay there for the rest of your life. I got to go find another one and save them. He actually wants to raise us up as sons and daughters. Okay? Restoration, warfare. Okay? When we do ministry together, when we meet together, when we pray for one another, we operate with an understanding of the clear spiritual warfare that's going on in our lives. Paul didn't describe the armor of God to us in Ephesians 6 and to put it on and to take it up because there's no spiritual enemy. No, he's equipping us for that spiritual war. And then Jesus Christ, through his power and authority, helps us win it. Okay, 1 Peter 5. The enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. So there's a call for us to do something in spiritual warfare, not just recognize that it's there. And so we do that. I prayed spiritual warfare over this morning, over all of you, over this church, because the enemy hates it when we talk about the body of Christ. He's set against it. He's set against the church, okay? Community, the fourth stream. Okay, so imagine these being streams, drinking from these streams, growing in these streams, walking in them, okay? You're moving more and more towards maturity. Every one of us is on a path towards maturity that's meant to become like the fullness of Christ, okay? In Ephesians, it tells us. Paul says that's the goal, is to be like Christ. So our whole life, we're going to be working towards that. Community is how we encourage one another. All those verses we just learned about. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Correct each other. Have accountability to one another. That happens within community. Some of the ways BJ mentioned, you know, men's and women's, Sunday mornings, okay? One of the reasons why we're having all these summer events that we're doing, okay? is to create this ability for community and connection and relationship with which we can walk in these other streams together. Lastly, mission, okay? God is not restoring us, equipping us, calling us to be warriors spiritually so that we can sit and watch TV, okay? I enjoy watching TV sometimes, but there's actually a mission that we're to be on together. More recently, we did what's called the Common Thread around Easter, okay? And we created an opportunity for mission around the celebration of Easter and what Christ accomplished for us through his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension, okay? We made this place into a walkthrough experience of understanding what did Christ go through and why. And building that together, inviting people, a couple hundred people came from the community to witness that and experience that, was a mission, okay? And that's an easy identifier as a mission, right? But there's other missions that people are on, even individually. Like I said, they're meeting with each other one-on-one, doing discipleship, mentoring. There's ministries in the church that we can get involved in and be on mission with that team, accomplishing what he wants us to accomplish. There's missions in your individual life. There's people that you can speak to and reach with Christ, with the truth about God, that I can't. I wouldn't have that place or authority to speak into their lives because you have that. So there's mission. So where are you at with church? Is the question this morning. Like, where are you at with church? The church, Adventure Church, is a part of the greater church, right? And so there's some things that distinguish us from organizations that I would not call church, okay? There's some closed-handed issues that we would establish as these are the things that we would say need to be included, okay, in a church to make them. And so just I'll let you know now because I'm not going to go exhaustively through these. But there's this book called Starting Point, okay? And it outlines, like, as the body of Christ, as believers in Jesus Christ, what things should a church believe, okay? Some of those things are the Bible is the Word of God, okay? It was written by man, but inspired by the Holy Spirit and tells us truth about God, and we can use it for our lives, for leading our lives and for our understanding of God, okay? The Trinity, this idea of God in three persons, that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Father is God, and they are one, okay? Heaven and hell is eternal. There is hell. There is eternal punishment for those who do not come to faith in Jesus Christ, and there is eternal bliss, eternal relationship with God, which makes heaven glorious for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Communion and baptism, we celebrate communion because Christ commanded us to remember what he did for us on the cross. And baptism is a picture of being buried with Christ and then raising again to new life. And so we celebrate those two things. The physical return of Christ for his church in the end times. Okay, these are things that are outlined in Scripture clearly. And so I could say the Mormons refer to their organization as the church, the Mormon church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I would not agree with the use of church in that. Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses. I would not agree that they are the church. And the reason is, and I'm not going to be mean to them, but I'm going to speak it clearly, and I do when I get, every time I get an opportunity, because some of those things I just outlined, we don't agree on. And so all the churches in town here, whether it's Matt or Nate at Stillwater, Lee down at the Valley Forest Square, there's a church down the hill here, and I forgot the name of it, but I need to find out the name. I've met that pastor. Okay, they believe these things. Okay, so they're part of the body of Christ. There has to be an establishment. I know our culture wants to embrace all things and say it's all love and everyone's welcome, but we have to establish some clear lines of what the church looks like. Okay, So all that leads us to kind of where we land with personally. Only you can answer this question of what you think of church, okay? There's a reason why you're here this morning. You have some beliefs and some understandings of church and how you relate to it, okay? Only you can answer for yourself where you're at with it. But what I would say is, how do you get on board, okay? Because that's how you move from here to there in the next year, is how do you get on board. Whether you get on board at Adventure or not is your walk with God, okay? But how do you get on board to the church, okay? In order to understand how you get on board with the local church community, you need to know from that community how they're doing that, how they're on mission, how they're walking in those streams. If you want to go to another church in the city here, that's great. Like I just said, those are my friends. I would recommend people to go to those churches too. But you'd have to talk to that community about what does it look like to get on board, not just attend it. That's not being a part of a church, just attending a church. It's not. You will be in that same place a year from now, I guarantee it, if all you're doing is attending a church. So how do you get on board? Some of the ways I've already mentioned, we'll just run through this quickly. Mentoring, okay? You may be somebody who's saying, wow, I feel stuck. Like, I don't know how to make any big leaps in my life because I've been wounded. I know I have. I don't know how, but I feel totally stuck by it. We have mentoring that's available. Now, mentoring, that word can mean a lot of different things. What it means is there's people who really have a passion for, and probably because they've experienced it themselves, walking one-on-one or in a small group with people who want to understand what does it mean to have a deeper relationship with God and to let him go after those areas of our hearts that have been wounded, to unpack that, let him heal those, okay? So it's not counseling. What it really is it's helping somebody and assisting them to go to God for counsel and teaching them how to, because that's a pattern you can use for the rest of your life. Okay, so mentoring is available, okay? Connection cards in your bulletin are a great way to get more information about any of these things. Youth programs, okay? Maybe you're a youth and you're not a part of a youth program. That's a community outside of just Sunday morning where you can actually go deeper in relationship with others, continue to learn more about who you are and what you can bring to this world, and interact at a deeper level. And then you've got like retreats and camps and things that come out of that that continue to take you deeper into being a part of the church. Men's and women's ministry. Yes, it's wrapping up for the summer, but we'll be starting up again in the fall. There is still a couple weeks left, so you could come check that out and maybe even meet some people. So for these summer events, you know some people who are going to be at those. But those are going on. You know, women's is Tuesday nights, men's is Wednesday nights. That info is in your bulletin. Sunday mornings is a great way to take part in the church, okay? To come and learn to worship God together in community, to have community time like we have in between services in our community center. And ministry involvement, you may be. So all these are maybe you're in different places with this. Maybe you're at a place where you want to jump into ministry and help in a ministry. You can ask about that. Just put that on your connection card. Is there places? Here's the things I love to do. I want to actually move from just attending to being a part of it. Okay? And the summer adventures, maybe that's your starting point. I'm just going to go to one of those. Okay? Go to the Robin Hood archery competition. We need people to stand in front of the target so we can put apples on their heads. No. Just come watch it. Whatever. Check out the passport. There's all kinds of cool events there. Lastly, membership. And I can see that I'm going to have to go through this really quick because we're wrapping up our time here. But membership is another next step. Okay, how do you get on board? Now, this is the part where a lot of people say, well, membership now. Why do I need membership and why is that important? The reason why we do membership, and some churches in the body of Christ do membership, some don't, but I can guarantee you they all have a way of identifying who's in. And there's a reason for that. This is where Jesus wants to take philosophy and concept and bring it down to earth. And he wants us to actually live it out. Because we can live in philosophy and concept, and that's cool, and the church is great, and I float from church to church to church. But what that doesn't get to is the personal growth that God is after in your life. And so he asks us to commit to a fellowship. The way that we identify that commitment is through membership. So basically that's saying, who can we count on that they're a part of the team? We're doing this thing. There's this crisis in our church family. We need people to pray for this. We need people to support this situation. Who do we count on for that? If you're somebody who doesn't plant and commit in a church, in a local church community, and you're going from church to church to church, it might be once every 6 weeks, we know, oh, this is your church community this week. We can count on you now, but maybe not the next time. Secondly, who do you count on, okay? As shepherds and leaders and pastors and teachers and prophets, all those leaders that God calls to help and equip and encourage the church, who do you count on for that, okay? Like, who are your leaders? That goes into the area of accountability even, okay? Leaders are accountable to the church. I'll read you a verse from Hebrews. Uh-oh. While I look for that verse, somebody can turn their alarm off. That wasn't long enough because I need a little longer to find my verse. Come on. Okay, there it is. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I never groan about leading. Don't ask Star about that, but. Okay, so there's obviously this concept that's assumed when we hear the church referred to in Scripture, okay, here in Hebrews even, that there's this interaction of a community. There are leaders even, and there's this accountability to the leaders, and there's an accountability we're going to have to answer for how we lead, okay? So it's easy to avoid that whole system that God has developed to develop character and maturity in us by just not committing to a community. Okay, so that's maybe the next challenge for you is, am I all in? Surprise, surprise, you've actually gone through the first step of our membership process by being here this morning, okay, the membership class. Okay, there's one more step. If you'd like to be a member at Adventure Church, then it's meeting with an elder just to share your experience of coming to know Christ, to share your personal testimony of meeting Jesus, okay? So if you've been here, you may be somebody who is a committed member here. You may be somebody who feels like you're committed, but you haven't taken the step of membership. You may be somebody who's been here for a couple of years, and you're kind of waiting for that next hurt that's going to come from this fellowship because you've come from three other churches where it's happened, and we're next in the cycle. I want to beg you to break that cycle because that's what God's after in your life. Break the cycle of just moving to the next place, packing your bags of all your hurts and the new ones you got from here, because you're going to get hurts even in this community, because we are people. But God says stay in it and walk in it together, okay? So if you want to take that step, you might want to know more about our membership before you make that commitment. All this information I shared this morning and a lot more is in here, outlines even our statement of faith even more in depth. What it means to be a member here, what the commitment is you're making. You can take one of these and just check it out. If you're ready to be a member, there's elders who can meet with you even after the service, and we can take that next step with you. Maybe you've been at Adventure for a while, and you know that you're ready to take that next step. Just come up to the front and talk to me if that's you. One booklet per family. We like to save trees because then we have trees for me to cut down and use for firewood. So one booklet per family. Yeah, worship team, if you want to come up, we're going a little long this morning, but that's okay. I just want to pray, kind of pray us into our worship as we close the service this morning. And that was kind of like a drinking from a fire hose, you know, kind of a crash course in why church is important. You have your individual story that you've lived out for all these years. So let's just pray and give that to God. So, Lord, I pray over each person in here, Lord, I know that personally you walked me through actually being a hairy hermit when I first came to Christ. And I was the guy saying, I don't need church. I can go out in the woods, and literally that's what I said, and connect with God there, and I have my Bible. And Lord, it didn't bring me the life and the encouragement and the growth and the discipleship because it wasn't your idea. So I just pray that you would walk intimately with each person in here and where they're at, how they've experienced church, and what the next step is, the starting point that you have for them this morning, so that they will be further along in their relationship with you a year from now. Just show each of them, reveal to them by your Holy Spirit what that is for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love.